Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We ask you to do a couple things when you come here. Share the work and also talk to people. Excuse me. And what I really need you to do is to talk up the show, talk up other shows, because we suffer from a profound lack of knowledge in our society. Our people have been so dumbed down, no fault of their own for the most part, but we need to try to help rectify that. We have a lot of intelligent people, a lot of people with potential, yet unrealized. Let's bring them to the truth, because we're being subjugated. And this really kind of blends into what we're going to talk about today. And what we're going to talk about today is who's really running the world. You ever thought about that? Who's running the world? Well, we're going to go through the possibilities. But before we go there, I first need to let you know, the banks are a mess, and we reported a lot on this yesterday. As many as 8 regional banks are in trouble, but we just found out new information this morning. The banks are obfuscating their losses. Citizens Bank in Iowa, big trouble. They're closed. Biggest bank in the state, and we don't know what the damage is. We don't know how many people are going to be affected. Why? Because they hid their losses. Just like the Pentagon, $3.8 trillion in debt, people should be going to prison. But the only people who go to prison in this country now are people like Owen Schroyer for daring to say at J6, death to tyranny. He actually told people, don't go in the Capitol. It's a setup. There's infiltrators here. Was he right? Well, yeah, he's right. He's right. And I will tell you this. I won't rest until I see this whole thing come back on Nancy Pelosi. That was her fault, her decision, and Trump should have overrode her and said, we're doing it whether you want it or not. We don't give a crap. It was a mistake in hindsight, and it's easy to play armchair quarterback. But ladies and gentlemen, we have such a criminal country. How do you lose $3.8 trillion? What is the Pentagon fighting a war on another planet we never heard about? I mean, what kind of nonsense is this? So I look at this and I just say to myself, how do we stop it? How do we stop it? Well, I'll tell you, the one thing I was telling a group of people this yesterday I was talking to, the way you stop it is to stop participating in the system. Get the hell out of the system. Now, one of the ways you can get out of the system is to go with Noble Gold. I did that. I have been advertising for Noble Gold for 5 years. I've been actually 6 years, and I've been a customer for 5. And it's, okay, it's one of the best things. Well, actually, it was probably the best financial decision I ever made, other than marrying my wife, because she's a financial genius. Well, she used to manage tens of millions of dollars in corporate money. No scandal there. No, she wasn't missing 3.8 whatever. Oh, man. Okay, Noble Gold, what can they do for you? Well, one, because if your retirement is in the bank, you're getting killed. And they're going to take it from you one day because they can under the Dodd-Frank Law 2010. It's not your money any longer when you put it in the bank. So get it the hell out of the bank while you can. And time is growing short to do this. 401k, IRA, Noble Gold can convert. And when you do, just to say thank you, they give you a 5-ounce beautiful silver bullion, America, beautiful coin. It's a way of saying thank you. They also can diversify you into other precious metals, and that's what you can do with most of your money in your bank. And I heard Steve Van Meter, someone sent me a clip of him today. Steve, nice job. He said, get your money the hell out of the bank while you still can. Leave operating capital in, yes, but get it out of the bank in its bulk, because they're going to take it. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, 0.7% of the money they need on hand to reimburse the banks. No, and you're nowhere to be found, because 2014 Brisbane, Australia G20 conference, they decided the credit swap derivatives crowd would be first in line in all the Western countries. Okay, great. You know what? You ain't in credit swap derivatives. You ain't getting your money, because that money will run out before they reimburse all of those people. I think you better let Noble Gold help you. I can send you a free information packet. DaveHodgesGold.com. That's davehodgesgold.com. And you can also call them if you feel the urgency of the hour, and I do. You can call them 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges told you to call. Now, I have to give you a disclaimer courtesy of the FTC. Any type of deal carries an inherent risk, and past performance cannot be indicative of future expectations. Okay, we agree with that warning. It's a shame it's not universally applied, but we comply because we believe in being honest. Noble Gold's the best there is. All right, let's talk about who's running the world. JFK made a speech, a very famous speech. A lot of people have heard of it now. Some people, I'd say probably 10, 15% of the country know about his secret society speech. Secret societies. The Illuminati. Okay. That was probably the first international organization. They did a good job manipulating European politics. I mean, they spread the false rumors into Britain's stock exchange about who won the war between Britain and Napoleon, and exactly. And they were able to gain control of the Bank of England. They've done how they do that. And then they created the Bank of International Settlement that controls all the other central banks. So you could make an argument that the Rothschilds still are the major players. Well, they could be. Let's consider that. But let's look on the other side of the pond for a minute, shall we? Shall we go back and take a look at the Rockefellers? They wanted the League of Nations, which was the forerunner to the United Nations. And it was an illegal treaty that Wilson tried to get us into. And Henry Cabot Lodge led the senatorial effort to say, "Bad, we're not approving this. You need two-thirds vote." Today, Biden just approves treaties. Doesn't matter with the UN or some other international body. He just says, "Oh, yeah, we'll do whatever you tell us to do because we're no longer America." At least after World War I, we were still America to a large extent, and the Senate blocked that crap. And then they just signed a resolution, passed a resolution just saying, "Well, we are trying to think of the best way to put it. We're declaring a war, and the war is over. Armistice Day." Okay. Now, they failed. So what did they do? Well, domestically, they started the Council on Foreign Relations. Council on Foreign Relations. Okay. Their Council on Foreign Relations was made up, and it still exists today, CFR, right? They used to deny it ever existed. And now Hillary Clinton, when she was running for president in 2016, used to make speeches with CFR in the background. "Hey, look, I'm one of you. Send me your money. Make sure you get your people to vote for me by any means possible." CFR, major player, politicians, business, media, all conspiring to move America towards world government. Okay, they were moderately successful. I mean, they were involved in the Alger Hiss thing with the United Nations, 1948, betrayal of America, spying on America, exactly. Total betrayal, CFR, not loyal, Rockefeller organization, but they weren't getting enough traction internationally. So they, 1973, Zbigniew Brzezinski, by the way, was Barack Obama's Soviet studies professor at Occidental College. Isn't that interesting? But anyway, he was a co-founder of the Trilateral Commission, along with, you know who did it? David Rockefeller. Yeah, they were together. And 1973, and they divided the world, the known world, because we're still in the Cold War. Europe, Western Europe, Japan, North America. Three blocks, all moving in the same direction, all trying to achieve some type of regional government through control of regional economies. And they were fairly successful. This all happened to the Carter administration, who was used like an old street prostitute while he was in president. I don't think the man was a bad man, but remember when he ran for president? I remember he said this. When I'm elected, I'll talk about the UFO in detail and we'll investigate this. I saw a UFO when I was on a Navy ship. Well, we'll open it all up. And then when he was on when he's in the presidency, all that got forgotten. Can't talk about it, could you, Jimmy? Not then. Today he could. But he and Rosalind aren't in great shape, God bless them. I think they're nice people, but they're hopeless liberals that led this country down a bad path. And they did their version of Joe Biden, let's wreck the country. But Joe Biden is better at it than Jimmy Carter. So back to who's running. Okay, you got the Trilateral Commission moving globalism along. And then we had organizations like, Bank of International Settlement, as I mentioned, controls all the central banks. That is, and the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, controlling currency exchange and exchange rates and all this stuff. Those people control the world's economy. And that's been in place for a long time. Long time. Now, what about actual governance? The World Economic Forum issues directives to nations for them to follow. They train leaders, Young Global Leaders Program. And they say, this is what you're going to do. This is in the best interest of humanity, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. So they do all that. Does it work? Does it work? Yeah, it's working pretty well. It's working pretty well for them. We've got all these programs going in, but whoa, wait a minute. Where are the programs coming from? They don't initiate with the World Economic Forum. They don't initiate with the IMF. They don't initiate with the Trilateral Commission of the Council on Foreign Relations. They come out of the United Nations. Now, interesting. I've covered this before. Do you know which organization is the major asset manager for the corporations which largely contribute to the UN, even though they're national fees? There are private partnerships in there too, public-private partnerships, right? We know about those PPPs. You know who it is? Do you know who it is who's behind the investors in the World Economic Forum? Do you know that answer? Do you know who controls 70% of the United States GDP through asset management control? Well, if you said BlackRock, you'd be right. BlackRock, WF, BlackRock, huge influence in the UN. When we look and see who really runs the world, it's hard for me to go any further than BlackRock and the UN. And it's hard to know where one starts and where one ends. It truly is. It's kind of like BlackRock's triumvirate, too. You've got BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. They're all intertwined. And people say, well, who runs BlackRock? Well, Larry Fink's their CEO and their spokesperson. Okay, not much of a lovable guy from my perspective, but I don't think he's calling the shots. And here's why. Vanguard went private, and I think they went private because they own the majority stock in BlackRock, which owns or controls 70% of the United States GDP. You go, oh, that's interesting. But see, because it's private, they don't have to tell you who their major shareholders are. And that tells you who controls voting. Well, we know who their corporate officers are. We know who their CEO is, Larry Fink. But here's what we don't know. Who holds the voting? Who controls the voting rights? Boy, that's interesting, isn't it? So who controls BlackRock is really a secret. Who controls the UN? Well, that's really kind of a secret. We know the nations have a voice, but the corporate entities really control the show. They truly do. We have turned into the Rollerball movie, Rollerball, where corporations run the world. And that's really where we're at today. But who runs the world? I would say it's a triumvirate of the World Economic Forum in partnership with their primary financial sponsor, second degree removed, BlackRock, and the United Nations. Those are the groups that run the world, and everybody else is subsidiary. You go, well, Dave, you didn't talk about the Bilderberg. Don't have to. because the Bilderberg has just basically come together, and here's what all these other groups have decided. And when you go back to govern your country or your business, this is what you're going to do. And you get a lot of encouragement for ESG, BlackRock, right? Corporations falling into line, following the international order and forsaking national sovereignty, national laws, right? Morals and values of the countries that they're in. We don't follow that. It's ESG, baby. That's the how they rein in the corporations. So if you say, what's the most powerful entity in the world, Dave? I'm telling you right now, it's BlackRock. And that shouldn't surprise you based on other things I've said. Well, really, we found in Lahaina, in that tragedy, we found BlackRock everywhere. Everywhere. And we documented it. We broadcast it. So is this surprising? And the next big thing that happens, BlackRock will be behind it too. Hey, very quickly, we have a new show. CSS Presents, Hiding in Plain Sight, HIPS for short. And I really, really am proud to do this. It's a show about the things that don't get covered by the mainstream media. It's kind of a takeoff on Art Bell, but it's not going to be a clone of Art Bell. But I want to get into topics that stretch your imagination, stretch your creativity, help you to grow in ways other than just fighting these geopolitical battles that we got to continue to fight. We do. We do have to do it. We're going to continue to do it. But I wanted a distraction. I wanted to have some fun, let my imagination wander. And I wanted to share that with you. Art Bell was my favorite radio talk show host of all time. And very, very sad when he went off the air. But I'll say this. Although we're not going to clone Art, we're going to do some things that I think would make Art Bell proud. And I really sincerely hope that you'll join us. Hope you find value in the show. We're really looking forward to it. That's the Common Sense Show presents Hiding in Plain Sight. Hey, thanks so much for coming here. Please make sure that you share our work far and wide and stay tuned for more. God bless all of you. Hey, everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show, and that's how you know me. And we're announcing the release of a new show that we're going to sponsor here called CSS Presents Hiding in Plain Sight. And we're going to look at mysteries, hidden mysteries, regarding human potential, ETs, UFOs, psychic phenomena, hidden curriculum, hidden everything. And we have the truth obscured for us in so many ways. And we need to know where to look. And I'm going to help you in that journey. And it's going to be interesting. And, let me tell you what started all this. I wanted to very much do an Art Bell type of show when I was on RBN. And I had really good numbers. In fact, some of the people that worked there said, Dave, did you know that your Sunday night numbers outdo everything during the week, Monday through Friday? And listen, I never verified that, but I was told that by two different employees there. And I said, no. Do you have any advertising? No. And I thought, okay, well, if I make myself really valuable, then maybe the owner, John Stapmiller, will give me some advertising. And John gave me my start. I'm grateful for that, but he wouldn't give me 1 minute. Eventually, I'll go independent for that reason. I worked for free for them for 6 years. And I think I provided pretty quality service, but I took an idea to John one time and he wanted nothing to do with it. And he was a visionary with regard to geopolitics, what programming should be to reflect geopolitics. And I learned a lot in that process. But I said, Art Bell has gone off the air for the most part. And I said, the public hungers for him because the replacements there just aren't getting the job done. And I said, I love that show. And I said, I'm a geopolitical guy, but I love to have my imagination stretched. I want to know about scientific inventions that are hidden from the public, the hidden science with quantum physics and what it all means, and our ancient history and how it's been obscured from us, and why people want to basically ban the Bible. Because if you look into the Bible, you get a whole lot of stuff on there. We're going to do a show in the upcoming weeks on the two different DNA on the planet. And it's all there for you to find out about in Genesis 6. and we'll take that and expand upon it. And he said, we're not doing that goofy blank. And I said, okay. And I think I lasted another 3 or 4 months. I had the chance, and I got to talk to her. She was a wonderful lady. The father of the space program, Von Braun. I got to talk to his secretary. Oh, the story she told, and RBN wouldn't let me have her on. Oh, it's too out there. Can you believe that? A network that fights against censorship at the time would censor one of their own people. And, I'm still going to do the geopolitics, and very much so because we're in the fight of our lives. But people are curious by nature. They want to have their imagination stretched. They want to learn new things. And I'll be honest with you, the people that run this planet want to keep you in the dark so they can control you. And this show is about shining the light on things because we know that ultimately all knowledge really is hiding in plain sight. We just have to look for it. And, I got to tell you, Art Bell was one of my heroes in broadcasting. And this is before I was ever in broadcasting. I used to do a few appearances about the Kennedy assassination because I had written some things after I got introduced to Jim Mars and I started to do my own research. And the late Jim Mars was just fantastic. One of the best researchers, if not the best, I ever met. And I'm a trained researcher. I taught at a pretty advanced level at the university and college level. And I do know how to do the research, but Jim, oh, could he unlock things? And I ended up somewhat on the lecture circuit. I wouldn't say I was a regular in big places, but I'd have the Lions Club or this group or that group and radio shows. Hey, I want to interview Dave. This is interesting what I read here. And that was my first foray into this. And that was in the 90s. And all of you know how I got into, I'm sure you do, how I got into broadcasting in the first place. Where the McCain mafia tried to steal my property and that of 300 of my neighbors. And we were in an 8-year battle that went from about 04 to 2012, where we finally won. Thanks to some really good people that helped me, like Ernie Hancock. And today we have our property free and clear, but it launched my broadcasting career. And I've always had this curiosity. And now, am I a believer typically in ETs and UFOs and things like that? Not really. I think it could be part of the great deception, but you got to deal with what's in front of you. And what's in front of you are craft that we can't explain, beings that have been discovered that we don't know about. But I think it probably has one source, and that's the evil one himself, Satan. But we're still going to look at the topic objectively. And listen, this has gotten to the mainstream now. The Pentagon's into this. The mainstream media is no longer joking about it. It used to be they'd report on it, like Betty and Barney Hill case that we'll talk about in future weeks. Oh, how crazy are they? And there was nothing wrong with those people. They were both stand-up, admirable people, and the media had their way with them. And that's no longer the case. So we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at a whole lot of topics with information that most people don't have. And I'm going to work hard to dig it up and present it to you right here. We're going to do a lot on the show too with predictive programming. And you say, well, Dave, what do you mean by the predictive programming? What I mean by that is that you see something in the media, whether it's a Twilight Zone show, the old Outer Limits, some movie like The Arrival, and you look at it and you say, are they telling us the future? And then enough time goes by and they're telling us the future. Minority Report was something we're going to talk about when we do predictive programming in sci-fi movies. And Minority Report with Tom Cruise, very much along those lines. Now, some of the people will tell you the evil people that try to run this planet, they have to tell you what they're going to do to you before they do it. And they choose Hollywood as a vehicle of expression to fulfill that requirement. Now, I don't know if that requirement exists. I used to think that was a silly concept, but you keep seeing these kinds of things over and over and over, and you see them often enough, you actually begin to wonder. And I do wonder. And you'll wonder too. And hopefully, we can satisfy some of your curiosity in all this. I remember one of the saddest days I had for entertainment was when Art Bell announced one night, I'm going off the air. And I want to talk about that for a minute. And I told some of this on my live stream on YouTube when I told him I was thinking about doing a show. Well, I am going to do a show. And it's motivated by the fact that art could make you use your imagination. The closest thing we have to Art Bell right now is, well, there's actually two guys. One's John B. Wells, but he's kind of gone down almost exclusively the geopolitical track. But he was really good with Coast to Coast. He was the second best they ever had. Some people said he was just as good as Art, and I have to agree. Now, I'm biased because I consider John B. Wells to be a friend and someone I've supported through the years. In fact, let me talk about that. And I told this story briefly last night on my live stream account. But John and I had met, sitting in the green room of radio shows, and we start talking before we go on the air together. And I think this happened twice to us in about a 3 week period. And we exchanged numbers and began to talk. And I've been on his show quite a bit, Caravan to Midnight, which is an outstanding show. And he was on my show. In fact, actually, I'm getting a hold of his production people tomorrow, and we're going to get John back on the show. In fact, we'll probably bring him on right here and have him talk about his Coast to Coast days. He is a brilliant, brilliant man, brilliant. And he's become a dedicated Christian. And it's interesting to hear him tell that story. But I'm not going to go there today. But when we have him on, we will. But anyway, people wanted me on Coast to Coast. I was beginning to write things. And oh, the people that were controlling Coast at those days did not want a Dave Hodges on there. Even Jim Mars helped me. He talked to one of their producers. Oh, yeah, Dave's great. Let's have Dave on. And then she come back to Jim and said, no, we can't have Dave on. And anyway, John and I stayed friends during his Coast foray, and he was still appearing on my show, and he knew the end was coming for him because they wanted to control his content, which is why Art left in the first place. You know that story, right? With Premiere. Premiere offered Art $8 million, and Art failed to retain the, shall we say, editorial control. And one night he just said, poof, I'm pulling the plug. That's it. Now, I know there were other factors surrounding that, but a lot of this was over editorial control. And I remember when he signed off, I go, where am I going to go to be entertained with people that can actually think and have open minds? And it was tough. Art's replacements were terrible for that genre. They might have been good in their own venue with doing their own thing, but trying to adapt to art takes a special thing. Now, I don't plan to be an Art Bell clone, but I'm telling you honestly, my interest in certain topics was spurred by Art. I actually trained to do remote viewing with Ed Dames, one of his frequent guests. Yeah, I'll have a show where I talk about that experience and I'll evaluate it for you about the efficacy of remote viewing. And thanks to the late Bill Pollack, my mentor in this business, Bill actually set that up for me because he knew Art well and he knew Ed Dames, and Bill knew everybody. He did. He truly knew everybody. A brilliant mind who has missed. And he didn't want the limelight. He didn't like appearing on shows, but he was brilliant. But anyway, with going back to the story about John, his ratings had just shot off the charts. And it was really apparent that they had the wrong guy hosting the Monday through Friday show. And it should have been John. And his numbers were just killing George Norrie. And listen, I don't have any ill will towards George Norrie, but I am going to tell the truth as I experienced it at that time. And John told me, he says, yeah, I guess they're not really controlling my content like they'd like to. And, we talked about ratings, and his ratings were fantastic. And I actually published those ratings. You can find that on my website, The Common Sense Show. The two biggest articles I ever wrote, ever, 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 that had well over a million views, was about what happened to John at Coast. So one day he calls me and says, yeah, they pulled the plug on me. And he had already started Caravan to Midnight. He hadn't started broadcasting, but he was getting it organized and set up because he knew bad days were coming. And then he was off the air, and I was really upset. So I wrote a fire-breathing article. Professional. Dealt with facts, dealt with ratings, dealt with control, told the old Art Bell story, and linked it to John. And I said, look, John has his own style. Art had his style, but they are both really effective in what they do. And I said, this is a loss to the public just because egos get involved. And at the time, you know, Coast started their subscription service. I forget what it was, $5 a month or $6 a month. And John had his with Caravan to Midnight. And when he launched, I said, why would you go to controlled media news when you could go to a guy who's open to all possibilities and he really welcomes the truth? And a flood of people dropped their Coast subscriptions and started to sign up for Caravan to Midnight. And out of the blue, one night, George Norrie called me. Now, I want to say this. I want to be very honest. He was extremely polite, and he was very professional. So I always want to be fair when I deal with people. And he asked me if I would stop. And I'd written two articles. I think they were afraid of number three. And he said, I'd like for you to stop what you're doing. Oh, we could have you on the show. Because remember, I was banned from going on Coast. And I said, George, I appreciate that. But I said, I can never go on your show. Why not? Because I chose a side here. I'm on the side of John Wells. I'm not on your side. I said, what happened to John was wrong, and it was a disservice to the listening public. And he goes, I'm sorry you feel that way. Well, I'll leave the invitation open. And we talked it through, and he asked me what my future plans were with this. And I said, I've had my say. His ratings were great. Yours were good. His content was great. Your content is good. And I said, and I have to wonder how much ego has entered into that. He didn't care for that too much, but that's how I felt. And that's what I told him. Well, it wasn't much longer. And my news director at the time, Bill Pollack's wife, the late Bill Pollack, my mentor, Annie DeRiso, was she good. Some of the best conversations I've ever had on topics came with Annie. And Annie used to run UFO conferences. And George Norrie happened to be at one, believe it was either Laughlin or Las Vegas. And he walks up to her, you're Annie. Oh, we did radio at the time. We weren't on YouTube. We did radio. And and he goes, you're Dave's Annie. And she said, George, he ain't coming on your show. And he asked her again, can you talk to him? No. So that was my experience with Coast. And I harbor no ill feelings, and no, they could call me today and I won't go on the show. And I'm not being stubborn, but I took a side. My friend was treated unfairly, and I'm standing by him. And I don't care if it's 10 years from now or 20 years from now. Unless he's the host, my answer will always be no. I am not going on Coast to Coast. And I think some of the stories I broke recently, and I don't mean to brag, but I'm telling you the feedback I got. Clay Clark, for example, told me, says, hey, all these people, Dave, tell me what a bang up job you're doing on CBDC and smart cities. And he said, I really want you to come to my conference and speak in December. And I am. And I'm honored by that great organization run by Clay, Reawaken America with All Great Patriots. That they've seen fit to invite me to speak. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, I've always kind of had a hole in my heart when Art went away, and he came back and he did some weekend things that didn't last. And he tried Sirius XM that went 6 weeks. And, you know, he was sabotaged every direction you can be sabotaged. The powers that be sent the men in black to talk to him. They couldn't get him off track. And then they wrecked his show. They took away editorial content. Then they killed his revenue. And then it just really wrecked it. And I'm really sorry he gave up the name Coast to Coast. Because quite honestly, the people that are running that show now don't deserve to have that name associated with Art Bell. They don't deserve it to have it for themselves. And that's my personal view. And it's an average show at best now. And in fact, I don't listen to it. If I'm out late at night one night, I'll say, well, okay, what station was that on? And I'll turn it on just to kind of occasionally see what they're up to. And I got to tell you, 5 minutes later, I'm back to music. So that's why I'm doing this. I think there's a real gap in there for real knowledge where people are hungry about mysteries out there, things that are hiding in plain sight. And I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to bridge that gap. And I don't think we can ever take the place of Art Bell. He's a legend. In fact, he's in the National Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And I don't think we can ever bridge that gap, but I think we could reawaken the spirit of creativity. You know, it's important that we deal with the geopolitical issues. It truly is. We absolutely, positively must confront these enemies that are trying to destroy us. And they're not just content to control us. I believe their ultimate goal is to destroy us. I mean, that's how I see it. And yes, we have to maintain, and we have to fight the fight. But there's not really an opportunity there to expand the mind. Imagine what frontiers are possible in human potential. What are we capable of? What is the truth about certain things, certain phenomena? Hidden history, for example. I've developed a real interest lately in archaeology in this country with the mound builders. And some of the people I've been talking to have been absolutely fantastic in this. And we've done a couple shows on it. I plan to even do the show here because they're finding things that the National Archives won't look at because it destroys their paradigm. Well, here's our proof. We don't care. We have all the facts we need. What? Yeah, we have all the facts we need. Okay. The government doesn't care about research people. All their organizations, they're non-research based. And the mound builders were fantastic. We'll do a show on it. One of my motivations for doing this show, and we are going to do content here in just a minute. I'm just giving you relevant background. But I want to give credit to Vance Davis. I met Vance and Bill at the same time. Vance was ex-NSA, assigned to NATO, and man, oh man, oh man, did he ever, ever, ever open my eyes to what's going on? He was on the transhumanism trail before there was ever a term, 1988. And I met him in 1992, and we've been friends ever since. I'm going to have him on the show a lot. Yeah, hiding in plain sight. I think Vance will be excited that we're doing this. I hadn't even talked to him about it. I just decided over about a 3 or 4 day period that this is what I wanted to do. And I want to get re-energized. And yes, I'm going to fight the fight and make that really clear. We're not going away. We're going to fight CBDC and all the other globalist World Economic Forum BS. We're going to fight that with everything we have. But I want to stretch people's imaginations and open up the realm of truth. And I'll tell you too, the two areas are related because we're lied to every day by Biden's administration, our government in general. We are lied to constantly. And we have a hidden history where we've been lied to. And I kind of alluded to that with the National Archives response to researchers I know that have done work on the mound builders and what they found, and absolutely fantastic stuff. And the government doesn't want to know the truth. Okay. So we are going to expose the truth. So that's how we got to where we are. And like I said, I want to reemphasize, I mean no disrespect for the people running Coast to Coast now. They're going to do their thing. I'm going to do my thing. I have absolutely no ill will towards George Norrie. And congratulations. I think he's lasted 20 years on the show. That's a milestone accomplishment, but we're going to do our thing here, and hopefully we're going to do it well. And I look forward to having audience participation in all this. So here we are. Welcome to Hiding in Plain Sight, a CSS presentation. I want to open up today with the initial show and really explore the idea, is there predictable programming? And I'm seeing more and more evidence for it. And I sat down and I listed movies that I think reflect that. Let me read to you my list. The Day the Earth Stood Still, Back to the Future, The Minority Report, The Truman Show, The Terminator, The Matrix, Colony, The Arrival, and of course, the classic movie coming up on that tragic anniversary of 60 years ago, JFK by Oliver Stone. By the way, I think I'm on right before Oliver Stone at Clay's Clark's conference. What an honor that'll be to finally meet him in person. And Jim Mars loved the guy because Jim helped write the screenplay and gave him relevant facts and so forth. And Jim told me, he says, that guy is one of the true allies that we have in Hollywood. Yeah. And he's paid a price for his loyalty to his country too. All right. Let's start with the movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Early 1950s, starring Michael Rennie. And wow, what a great job he did in the movie. But there were a couple of things, and there are actually more than a couple of things that really kind of foretold the future. Michael Rennie lands in the mall area near the White House. The craft is silent. The military panics. They bring in tanks and soldiers. Now, it's funny, they had a crowd there too of civilians. They would never allow that. That was one mistake the movie made. Military would have cordoned that off and no one near. And finally, the door opens. And out comes Michael Rennie, dressed in some kind of space suit attire without the helmet, and his robot friend, Gort. And the robot thing didn't really get a lot of attention in that day. But if that movie were to come out today, people'd say, oh, they're kind of indoctrinating us for AI. I think the plot for AI takeover has been with us for a very, very long time. And so Gort comes out and he's this indestructible robot and he perceives aggressive threat for the American military. Tank arms itself, boom, tank is incinerated. It just disappears. Soldiers point their rifles, boom, gone. All powerful. And what Michael Rennie explained to the people he'll eventually talk to, he explained to them that you are a warlike planet, and we don't care what you do to each other. That's your concern. But when it starts to enter out into space like you're going, and remember, this movie was made before Sputnik. This would have been, I think, like 5 or 6 years before the Russians launched Sputnik. So there was nothing coming in. I mean, this movie was so, had so much foresight. But Michael Rennie explained to the leaders of the world, you go out there with these hostile attitudes, and robots like this will turn your planet into a burned out cinder. And he said a long time ago to basically deal with our aggressive impulses, we built this group of robots and we gave them complete power over us. Is that not the big fear that we have today? AI taking over? Well, in that movie, that was exactly what was expressed. This movie, I want you to think about the year. This movie is over 70 years old. And we're just beginning to have the AI debate about how much sentience, how much control we give to those entities over us. Truly frightening. And I don't think a sentient race of robots would be benevolent towards humans. Too many humans are this way. Let's exterminate them all. That's my fear. And if you think I'm going out on a limb, I think you might be mistaken because over 10,000 scientists have now signed documents urging the government to put limits on this, and they're not. They're going full speed ahead. Now, I think this ends up with transhumanism, and I'm going to bring Vance Davis on to discuss that concept. In fact, he'll probably be a frequent guest on the show, Hiding in Plain Sight. But I think this movie was so far ahead of its time that we should be looking back on it. Everybody should be watching it. The day the Earth stood still. Pretty scary. And let me go to a warning that's in the Bible to cap off this discussion about this movie. The Bible says that if Jesus didn't come back, the end of the tribulation period, there'd be no flesh left alive. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You have to wonder if Armageddon is strictly going to be about nation against nation. How much will AI play a role? Is this going to be end times man versus machine? I'll say it again. Jesus said no flesh would be left alive. It's a pretty ominous note to end that particular discussion on. There's another movie that I wanted to talk about that has real relevance in our daily life today, and that's the movie Minority Report. And that movie is absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning in its approach. Minority Report was based on something that I think was, they didn't know how to represent it. So they had these like mermaid female creatures in this sauna bath that would be psychic and be able to predict future events based on what people do. And then the authorities would go out and arrest the person before they could commit the crime. And it was called pre-crime. And that's where the term pre-crime came from, was from this movie. Really, this movie was far ahead of its time. But here is what we know now. This really again gets into AI. We know that AI, and this comes out of World Economic Forum discussions, this is part of World Economic Forum presentations that come out. AI studies people, knows everything that you do, how you spend your money, how you spend your time, the words you use, and they can predict on their algorithms what you're going to do next. That's AI. The potential for pre-crime is incredible. And if we ever got down to a eugenic society, who is fit to stay and who's got to go? It's pretty interesting, isn't it? Because they could go off of the notions of AI. In other words, you don't have to do anything wrong, but their predictive models say you would. In fact, there was a North Carolina University professor that this presentation's come out, and actually Clay came on my show, Clay Clark, and played some of this live from World Economic Forum. And she said, "We know what you're thinking about at work. We absolutely know if you're on task, if you're not on task, what you're thinking about." And they covered like, gee, will people look at someone that they're attracted to and have to bury that feeling because they don't want to be discovered? And Harari, the number two guy at the World Economic Forum, has said, "Free will is a thing of the past. Humans are hackable." So on the first part, we know what you're thinking. On the second part, what Harari is saying in actuality is we can control what you're thinking. And this is an offshoot and the next step up from the movie Minority Report. What a great movie that was. I mean, at the time, people looked at it as unrealistic, nonsense science fiction. And today we see, even though the psychic part of it was a misrepresentation of what we have today, we have algorithmic models, according to people that come and speak at the WEF, that can do these things. Boy, is that interesting. That is absolutely fascinating, isn't it? We do have a sponsor for this show. And the sponsor is My Patriot Supply. $200 off 3 month. It's a great special. And right now our food supply is under attack. We've covered it. Bill Gates buying up farmland faster than you can blink. And the food supply is in big trouble. Food processing plants going down, supply chain, the Panama Canal, the whole thing we've talked about before. You better store and you better do it quickly while supplies last. Restaurant quality food, 25-year shelf life, and it really, really tastes good. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. One other movie that I wanted to talk about, and I'll probably refer to it in the future more than once, was the TV show Colony. I don't think it'll be much longer. In fact, that time may already be here. That if we were locked down into a martial law situation, you know what would happen? They'd have AI control it. And in the TV show AI, and I won't get into all the origins and everything because we'll develop this movie later, but I want to focus on one thing. They had AI enforcement of martial law. They had, for example, dusk to dawn curfews. And guess what would happen to you if you were out after dusk? This AI creature, almost indestructible, would take you out. So, whoa. There's one other aspect too that I really want to talk about here when in that show. Bacon and eggs were a delicacy. There was extreme control of diet. Does this sound familiar? Yes, you'll eat bugs, plants, aquatics. I wish I was kidding. I'm not kidding. This is exactly why I love that show. Because this predicted the control of diet before the control of diet concepts came out of the World Economic Forum. And now we're having the smart cities say, well, guess what, boys and girls? We're telling you what you can eat. You're not going to have meat or dairy. And the C40 cities, which right now number 80, have banned, or at a certain date, 2030, meat and dairy. Oh, did the Phoenix mayor get crucified for that? And then she lied and she made a video of her eating an egg. What a joke. By the way, she's a product of the Young Global Leaders Program. Surprise, surprise, right? So, anyway, long story short with this movie, our show, I should say, Colony, and it should be made into a movie, was way ahead of its time. And even though it's not that old, I think it went out of production about 5 years ago, and it was a 3-year series. Really was really good for what we're looking at covering here on the show. So this is something I wanted to do for a long time, and I hope you'll embrace this with me as we cover a variety of topics that may or may not fit into the geopolitical, but the show will have its own identity, and it'll be distinctly different from the Common Sense Show. But in the same spirit of educating the public and telling the truth. We hope that you'll come back often. We're going to air this on all of our venues. I mean, every time I do a show, it's going to go everywhere on our venues because I think we need to bring some entertainment, education, and sometimes some comic relief. We got to have some fun. And I hope you'll find this interesting, informationally valuable, and fun to learn about. Thank you for joining me on this maiden voyage of hiding in plain sight, brought to you by the Common Sense Show. God bless all of you, and we'll see you back on the next episode.